If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. This chapter in the book of Romans is probably one of my favorite chapters in the book of Romans. And the reason is because it talks about dying to live. If you want to live, then you have to learn how to die, to learn about justification by faith through Jesus Christ. But Paul here is defending justification also as he's going to explain sanctification to each one of us individually. Paul now is coming to those chapters where he speaks about reckoning the old man to be dead. And there are three things that Paul is going to mention tonight. Number one, he's going to share with us that we are dead to sin. Dead to sin. Beginning with chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Look what Paul says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, that's a very good question for today. Because there are a lot of people that really believe that the more you sin, the more God gives you His grace and His love and His mercy. And this is, I believe, where people get deviated from the knowledge of the truth, but at the same time, they have a false security in Jesus Christ. This is why we believe John 15 is the key theologically, not only to the Calvary Chapel movement, but I believe it is to every one of the doctrines in the Bible when God speaks to us. That is the doctrine of abiding in Jesus Christ. There is a danger today where people not only are abusing, but taking advantage of the liberty that Christ has given to them. They say, well, I go to church and I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that means that nothing can ever happen to me. I am totally secure in Him no matter what I do. Wrong. Paul's going to tell you. It's wrong. And one of the things that we have to be careful with is that we need to understand that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul is going to be dealing that we not only are dead to sin, but constantly we are struggling with the flesh and the world and with Satan. It's not a once and for all. When we get to heaven, it will be over. We will rest from all of our works. We will have no more problems in the flesh because we will be perfect even as He is perfect. But as long as we are here on this earth, we are going to struggle. And you're going to learn tonight in chapter 6 that it's a life of obedience to God. Yielding your life to God completely and choosing whether you want to work for the devil or you want to work for God. You want to be in the light or you want to be in darkness. You want to be obedient or you want to be disobedient. You want to abide in Jesus Christ, or the Bible says you're going to reap the wages of your sin. Your sin will find you out. That's one thing for sure that we know, that whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So Paul was concerned because there were those in the church of Rome that were actually saying, hey, it doesn't matter what we do. We can drink, we can fornicate, we can do whatever we want, and we can still go to heaven. Well, Paul's going to tell you that it's the wrong way to think as a child of God. Because he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You mean to tell me that the more I sin, the more God is going to give me His grace or a merited favor? Verse 2, certainly not. Certainly not. God forbid. Notice what he says. God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Don't you remember what you used to be and what you came out of? And not what you are in Jesus Christ? There's a difference. There's a difference as a child of God. And Paul is wanting people to understand that the principle here is what? Is holiness to God. Serving Him, loving Him, abiding in Him. And I think it's important because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, If you have your Bible for a second, he talks about this total rest that God has given to each one of us through his grace and love and mercy. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says, "And you were made alive, whoever before you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience." So in chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking about what? Your past. He's going to talk to you about your present and your future state. You used to be a son of Satan. You used to be a son of disobedience. You used to not care about the things that you did. You could go to parties, you could fornicate, you could commit adultery and never feel guilty about it. But when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit now is in us and brings conviction to my heart and to my life. I cannot do the things that I used to do and feel at peace with God. That's an impossibility. Look what else Paul says. Verse 3. "He is among also whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of," notice, "of all the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, lusting after," notice, "in what? In lust as others." We used to be lusting. We used to be in a place where we did not care about anything we did. But verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love and where he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And he raised you up together and made you sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then the ages to come, you might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship," or his poema, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So in those 10 verses, he's talking to you about your past, your present, and your future. What you are in Jesus Christ today because of the grace of God. That's why we are what we are today. Then he goes on in verse 3. Look what else he says. "Or don't you know that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now this is really important, because if you were a former Catholic or a Jehovah's Witness or maybe even a Mormon, you would think that baptism is a very important doctrine, and it is. Paul is not talking that if you have come to Christ that baptism now saves you. He's not talking about that. Baptismal regeneration, he's not talking about that. Here, he's given the illustration of baptism as, "Now that I come to Jesus Christ, baptism now not only becomes a type of the grave, the cemetery. Because when I go into the water, it is speaking not only that I am a new person in Jesus Christ. So when I step into the water, I am saying, I am dying to myself. I reckon the old man to be dead. And when I'm going into the water, I'm going to bury my old man down. And I'm going to resurrect in newness of life as I come out of the water." And what happens when a person dies as a believer? He puts into the grave, but his soul and his spirit has gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection. That's a type or a symbol of things to come. And so when we talk about baptism, we're talking about the grave. We're talking about a symbol of death, but at the same time, identification with who? With Jesus Christ. He died and rose again from the dead. We have become new people of God because we are now baptized through death in Jesus Christ. Look what else he says in verse 3. "Or don't you know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father," here it is, "even so we should walk in the newness of life." You see, is Paul contradicting himself? No. He says, if you're a real Christian, then you have to walk in newness of life. You're not the same person anymore. Why? Because when people look at me, they look at my body, my flesh, they're looking at a dead man walking. He's dead. It's not the real me. You see, so as long as we live in this world, and as long as we live in this body is always going to resurrect itself, always wants to lust, always wants to sin, always wants to do what is against God. But remember, we're not ruled by our bodies, we are ruled not by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the difference. That a child that is not a child of God is a what? A natural man. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man does not understand the things of God. Why? Because he's a natural man. He's a heathen. But we that are spiritual, what we've had is that the natural man is, here he is, his flesh and his soul and spirit is separated from him. He's dead. But then when you come to Christ, you have a flip over where now the spirit rules and the flesh is at the bottom and the soul is next to the spirit. You see, we've had a flip over. We're not the same people that we used to be as we used to sin all the time and not feel guilty and enjoy the parties, enjoy the music, enjoy the drinking, the drugs and all those things. But today we're not like that any longer. We are new. New people because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The newness of life by faith in Jesus Christ we have received. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of Jesus Christ's death. Are we united? You bet. How? Through baptism. We identify through baptism. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Even by faith, we believe that when we die, this body is going back into the earth. It will turn into a million worms, you know, back into dust. But the soul and the spirit, the moment we die, we enter into the presence of God and we have new bodies and we shall be like him. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, nothing like that anymore. We will be perfect in our new bodies in Jesus Christ. So that same power that people that have gone on to be with the Lord today are up there in perfection, that same power that has taken them to heaven is the same power now that is living in my life, controlling me. You see? It's not like I can say, well, you know, I was ignorant of that sin. I didn't know that was wrong. Well, no, we do know what's wrong. And we know what is right. Why? Because we have been enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit as we have become born again of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us Christians. We don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And too much is given, much more is required. Much more is required. We have the power of God in us to be obedient or to be disobedient. We have to make the choice. We cannot be ignorant of that fact. We can say yes or we can say no. It's up to us. It doesn't take a miracle of God to do that. We have the willpower within us to say, well, you know, I think I'm going to slide a little bit this way and I'm going to compromise. Well, if you do that, then you pay the consequences of sin. Everybody does that. But at the same time, before I ever sin, it's like, you know, I know that I have to drive 55 miles an hour on the freeway, which a lot of times I don't. And you know what? I know that I am guilty. Why? Because I'm looking in my mirror the whole time to see if there's a red light behind me. You see, I know. And then when they pull you over and give you a ticket, I don't deserve this. You deserve it. You broke the law. Well, that's the way God works within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We know that we're supposed to go 55 miles an hour. But some of us, men, 90 miles an hour, we don't care. We're just flying by and we're breaking the law. And the law is the schoolmaster that has brought us to Jesus Christ, showing us the power of sin in our lives. Now watch this. This is so incredible. Verse 6. Knowing this now. Now secondly, we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. And that word is beautiful in the Greek. Listen, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. Hey, what were we before we came to Jesus Christ? Slaves of sin. Our master was sin. Our master was Satan. Our master was our flesh. No longer. In the Greek language here, it's very interesting because now I am ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. But when he says, again in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was, he's talking in the Greek in past tense. That's what you used to be, but this is what you are today. You see, he's not talking of the past. He's talking of the present. What you are today and what you should be. Because my body, my flesh, my old man has been crucified with Jesus Christ. Now, we don't get this picture because we're Americans and we haven't lived in Roman times. But in Roman times, when he's talking about crucifying ourselves, let's say that I was a criminal and I kill somebody in the Roman government. I kill somebody, I break into their house, I kill him, I execute him, the police catches me. In that culture, they would take me to jail, they would chain me up, and then I would have to stand in trial. And when I would stand in trial, even though I would have a lawyer in that culture, I would be found guilty, and my penalty now for taking another man's life under my own hands, you know what the penalty would be? It wouldn't be crucifixion. It wouldn't be going to prison and playing basketball and all these other games. It would be this. It would be to take the body that I killed, and they would tie that body face to face, hand to hand, feet to feet, and I would have to walk around with the dead body as the body was actually rotting. And what would it do? It would actually rot my own body and kill me. That's what he's talking about in the Greek here. Don't you know that you're walking around with a dead body? That's not the real you anymore. The real you is the spirit and the soul that is within us. That one day will be liberated from this body of sin and bondage and flesh and will be standing in the presence of God. And even though we live here and we do sin, we do fall short of, you know, God's grace and God's love many times. Yet we know what is right from wrong. We know that the Holy Spirit is ruling over my life. But at the same time, he says, not only in the past tense he's talking here, he says that the body of sin might be done away with. Now that's another interesting word in the Greek. It's a banking term. It literally means this. Now that you know that your old man has been crucified and is rotting, notice your body of sin now might be put out of business. Literally in the Greek. You are to put your body out of business. It's no longer in the business of sinning anymore, like we used to sin. Yes, we're not perfect. We will slide, we will fall, we will trip. But at the same time, we're conscious now of what's right and what's wrong. And that's what drives me immediately back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, immediately. I want to be on safe ground. I want to repent. I want to confess. I want to get right with God. Why? Because any child of God that is not walking right with God, it doesn't have a right relationship with God, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be carnal. You're going to be walking in the flesh. You're going to be tripping and falling. And what's going to happen is you're going to stand there and you're going to look at your life and your life is not going anywhere. You're standing still. You're standing still. That's why he says you got to put it out of business. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, we used to be slaves of sin. No more. We don't serve sin anymore. I mean, that's totally clear by ear. Again, what he's talking about here, we should no longer be slaves of sin. That is that the battle of the flesh and the spirit is a daily battle trying to control my life. Whether I get up in the morning, okay, who am I going to submit my life to today? Satan, the flesh, and the devil? or am I going to reckon? Am I going to obey? Am I going to repent? And I'm going to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Being aware of the Holy Spirit and God in our lives all day long. Look what he says in verse 7. For he who has died, past tense, has been now freed from sin. That's not perfect sinlessness, okay? The word free here literally means to be cleared or to be declared now righteous by faith from sin. By coming to Jesus Christ, repenting, believing in Jesus Christ, I am now proclaimed or declared righteous before God. Not because of my own standing, but because of Jesus Christ. I stand righteous before Him. Even though I know that I've sinned, I've blown it, and I've came to God, and I really truly repented and confessed my sin, immediately God gets you back on track and you're back in fellowship with God. That's what a kind of God we serve. That's why this book is so important for the church concerning sin today. Look what else he says, verse 8. Now if we die with Christ, we believe also that we shall also live with Him. For sure, that's a promise we have. That if I live for Him, I'm going to live with Him again. You see, so everything's not in vain. What we do is all eternally. And what he's talking about here now that we are living a resurrected life by faith in Jesus Christ, I know that one day when I die, I'm going to see Him and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what I'm looking for every day, to be with Him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. You see, there's that transformation from sin to God. And Jesus Christ now is in the presence of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Day and night, he is there. Verse 11. Now reckoning the old man to be dead. He says, likewise, you also reckon. And the word reckon is a very interesting word. In the Greek, literally means consider, or it's a word of faith. He says, likewise, you also now reckon yourselves now to be dead. Consider yourselves now to be dead indeed to sin, but here it is, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we can be at peace with God. Every child of God that comes to Jesus Christ. But then look what Paul says too. Verse 12 to 23. We should yield our bodies to God too. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. What does he mean by that? Well, now that we take our stand by faith, notice that now I can use my body to bring honor or dishonor to God. I have the choice to make. Because he tells you, therefore do not let sin reign. And the word reign there in the Greek means this. Don't let it be king of your life. Don't let sin be king of your mortal body. Don't let it reign on the throne of your life. No one thing, it is dead. Why? Because if sin is king over my mortal body, look what he says. Then you will obey all of the desires of the flesh. If you allow your flesh to rule over you and you set it king again over your life, guess what's going to happen to you? The ruling flesh is going to wipe you out and kill you. Eventually. That's just the way it is. That's why he tells you, don't let the flesh reign or be king in your mortal body. Verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. What does he mean by that? Well, this is a pretty interesting scripture. The word that he uses for instruments is literally the word weapons. And the word that he uses here to present is actually a word of yielding myself to God willingly and hilariously without force. So we have the right to do what? To yield my body, the members of my body, to unrighteousness, unto sin, or I can yield myself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of God's righteousness. You see, do you want to be a vessel of honor or do you want to be a vessel of dishonor? It's up to you. You got to make the choice. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17 says, don't you know that your body now is the body of what? The temple of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the holiest of holies, which God lives in you. And if any man defile the temple of God, God himself shall destroy him. Then again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, my brethren, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service unto God. We have a choice to make. We have a will to obey or to disobey. I don't have to stand there and say, well, you know, I didn't know what I did. Yeah, we know what we do. Because you have the right to say yes or the right to say no. It's all up to you now. God's already done it all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. There it is again. He's telling you that if you're a child of God, there's no excuse for sin ruling, reigning over my life. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. 1 John chapter 4 says that. Satan has no more power over my life. I can get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to walk with Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. And when temptation comes or situations come, even though if I come into combat and I fall and slip down, whatever, I'm going to get up and I'm going to finish the day doing what's well for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power to do that. We don't have to give in to sin. We can say no to sin now because we are children of the light. Then look what else he says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law anymore, but how? Under the grace of God, unmerited favor given to you. Verse 15, the question again, what then? How he started chapter 6. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Twice he says it there. Certainly not. Never let it be so in the Greek. Never even think about it. There's no possible way. Do you not know that to whom you, here it is, I want you to underline this. Don't you know that whoever you yield yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Underline that. You see, you have the choice to become a child of Satan, a child of the flesh, a child of disobedience, a child of darkness, or you can say, no, I'm going to serve God. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. If you do right and you actually do what is right in the eyes of God and you're obedient, then what happens? You are right before God. That's what the word righteousness means. I am in right relationship with the Lord. Verse 17. And this brings up an interesting question here. Who are you yielding to and who is your master tonight? Who is your master? Remember Bob Dylan's song a long time ago? You got to serve somebody. And that is so true. You have to serve somebody. You make the choice. Who do you want to serve? Hey, Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord Jehovah God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We have to make up our minds. We have to look at eternity, what God is doing and what he wants to do in our lives. Look again, verse 17. But God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet, here it is, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What doctrine? The doctrine of justification by faith. You see, we believed by faith. We came to Christ. We're not bound by rules and regulations or church order things. Hey, we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I am righteous before God. Even though I'm not perfect, I am righteous before God because of what God has done for me through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then verse 17 again. But God be thanked, though you were a slave of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free now from sin, notice the good news, we are free from sin. We make a choice. He says, you have become now, notice, the slaves of what? Righteousness. You see? You're a slave of Jesus Christ now, a bondservant. We're going to be dealing with that on Romans chapter 1, verse 1 on Sunday morning. A slave of Christ, a doulos, one that is not forced, but I willingly choose to serve the Lord and obey Him, and I choose to go to heaven because of what He's done for me. Now here's another problem, verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented or yield your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now, see, this is what you used to do, so now, what does he say? Present or yield your members, your bodies as slaves of righteousness for what? For holiness, sanctification, set apart for God. I love that. We don't have to be anything else, but we can be holy unto God. If you are saved by the grace of God, then you cannot do what you please anymore yourself. You have to submit to Jesus Christ. He's either your Lord and Savior and Master, or He's not Lord at all of your life. That's what Paul is teaching here. Verse 20 again. For when you were slaves of sin your whole life, you were free. Notice, in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you're now ashamed of? So Paul says, hey, remember when you were a non-believer, were you happy? No. Did you have a lot of fruit? No. When I was not a believer, I was on my way to hell. In wrath, in disobedience, I was miserable. Even though we went and partied and did all the things, man, when we got home and be ourselves, what were we? We were miserable. We were lonely. We were convicted, but when we found Jesus Christ, He totally changed our whole lives. And what does He say? You don't have to boast about it now. When you give your testimony, are you ashamed of what you did, or are you boasting? Be careful. We cannot boast in our old life. It's a shame what I used to do. It's a shame the way I used to speak. It's a shame the way I didn't care for people, because that was the old man. But today we have a new man, a man that loves God, a man that is filled by the love of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a man of compassion. You see, God has changed our hearts, and He continues to change us until the day we die. So Paul says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things, remember, is what? Death, spiritual death, hell, the lake of fire. But now, having been set free from sin, and now having become the slaves of God, you have your fruit, how? To holiness, and the end, what's going to end? Everlasting life. Isn't that neat? Everlasting life is the end of all things. And here it is, here's the key, verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. Spiritual death. Hey, listen. The wages of Satan. Satan pays his wages by lying to you and taking your life from you and casting you into hell with himself. Those are his wages. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. The gift of God is who? Jesus Christ. Is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You believe that? We have now eternal life, and we're not like the old man. We're not like people that do not know Christ, but we know what is right and we know what is wrong. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Never again should we stand in that position. But looking unto God as the author and the finisher of our faith tonight. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord God, we pray that as we continue through the book of Romans, that you would teach us and continue to lead and guide each one of us here individually, God, in our own personal lives. Lord God, we want to do what is right. And we want to be in holiness. We want to yield our members of our body as instruments of righteousness. Father, we don't want to mess with the flesh. We don't want to mess with Satan. But Lord, we want to be totally yielded to you, God, as we give you our hands and our eyes and our ears, our mouth, our Father, our thinking, our feet, all every part of our body, Father, we give to you tonight. And Lord, we ask you that you transform us, that you use us, that you lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that is not a child of God, and maybe even some of the believers that are here, Father, have been struggling and have been falling back into their old life. Some have problems with alcohol and drugs still, Father. Sexual adventures, different things, Lord God, lying and cheating and robbing, God. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are struggling. Father, we pray for every one of our struggles here tonight.